Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again. Hope you've had a good week. A lot going on, like always. One thing I wanted to remind you of is a couple weeks ago, we had an episode titled, It's All About the Agenda. If you didn't have time to watch that, I encourage you to watch that. If you didn't have time to share that with others, please do. I think that was a good overview of what's going on. Maybe you have like-minded family and friends, but they're still kind of what's going on and they're concerned about what's going on. That would be a great episode to send to them. Say, hey, watch this. And then if you could encourage them to subscribe as well, that would be a great blessing. If each of you could get one person over the next month to subscribe and become part of what we're doing, it'd be a great blessing. But anyway, that episode, It's All About the Agenda, I think was just a good overview to bring people out of the fantasy world of the media and all the talking heads and things to really see the big picture. So I hope you'll utilize that. Today, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. Many videos are out there. We put one up a couple weeks ago on prepping, and I think it's very important. I think that everyone should have 90 to 180 days worth of supplies in their home to last through a disaster or a collapse or an EMP attack or shortages or civil wars or whatever might happen. There's just so many things that can potentially happen. It's good to be prepared. But what I wanted to talk about today is I'm going to focus on the idea of prepping for 2030. Prepping for 2030. The natural disaster, the conflict, the EMP, whatever, they may or may not happen. It looks like they will at some point, but they may or may not. But life in 2030 is going to be completely different from today, guaranteed. That's a certainty. It's not maybe. As you look at from technology, AI, their goal is to have 90% of all jobs in the world be replaced by AI, artificial intelligence, by 2030. They might not reach their goal in some of these areas, but when you see that happening, you'll realize that means most people will not have a job. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? And so there's serious things to look at. We know the environmental movement and the climate crisis and all they have fabricated with that is going to increase regulations and taxes dramatically on everyone. So we know that's going to happen with 100% certainty. We know because we can see worldwide the hostility toward Christianity is growing daily. And it's growing daily because we believe in absolutes. And they're in this moral relativistic world that they are God. They are the only one that dictates what is truth. So people that believe in absolute truth are going to be under attack. So we know that's going to happen. I think there's going to be regular lockdowns for the climate, starting maybe within the next year, where it'll just be part of what's going on. Like one day a week, you're not allowed to leave your home. Or they're going to start doing this. I know they are because of what they write and what they talk about. So again, today, this week, we're talking about prepping for 2030. What does that look like? What are some things to be thinking about? I can't cover everything, but I want you to start thinking differently about the future and preparing now. Don't wait until you own nothing and you have a big smile on your face because you're so happy about that. Like their goals say, don't wait till that happens. Right now, go, okay, since I know they are changing the framework of everything, what could I be doing right now to prepare myself and my family for that reality? The Bible tells us to pray for a quiet and peaceable life. What could I be doing where I could maybe be continuing to multiply and raise the next generation behind the scenes, quietly growing and having influence, but doing it in a way that I'm not trying to poke a finger in anybody's eye. I'm not trying to stir up contention. I'm trying to be able to be sustainable for my family and sustain the future through what I'm doing. So anyway, that's what I want to talk about today. I appreciate you joining me, those on all the different platforms. Thank you for watching and liking and sharing. I appreciate it. Please consider going to agendaweekly.com to get all our resources every week. Thanks so much. Pastor Art Pawlowski, you've probably heard of him many times in Canada. He's been in jail, I think, 16 different times now. It's unbelievable. But he just got out of prison again because he spoke at a truckers rally during the Freedom Convoy. Just spoke there, didn't do anything, didn't break any laws, just spoke there. And he talks in the video we have below. Watch the video. It's short, but just, I mean, he was in solitary confinement. They stripped him naked and put him on concrete floors and left him all night. They were totally abusing him just because he stood against them. I mean, Canada is collapsing right now. I want you to know that. And there's going to be repercussions for America. But now he has dozens of criminal charges against him because he spoke at a rally encouraging people to stand up for freedom. And he specifically mentioned in the talks about not breaking the law and not, you know, so and not doing anything violent or anything. It's a peaceful protest. And it's a peaceful rally. But that's what they're doing to their enemies. And Trudeau, you probably saw last week as well, he has banned all media in Canada now that is not licensed by the state. I mean, they're going full-blown totalitarian dictatorship just north of us. Another key fact I was reminded of this week, and this is really sobering, 40% of Americans, 40%, getting close to half, have less than $1,000 in savings. Now think about that, okay? Less than $1,000. And we just saw this week the inflation rate come out. And based on the 1980 numbers, it's 17%. Well, 17% inflation to someone that doesn't even have $1,000 in savings is going to wipe them out. They're going to like, I don't have enough money to pay all my bills. Everything they have been making just goes to pay their bills. And when their bills go up 20% in 1 year, all of a sudden they can't pay their bills. And it's 40% of America. I was reminded of, just like as food goes up and the stock market, of course, is overdue for a crash. It's so artificially inflated, which if that happened, then all the baby boomers that are older, all their wealth is devastated because most of their retirement is in the stock market. It just reminded me, Karl Marx said, you have to do whatever you can to make the poor poorer. And to try to eliminate the middle class, all the while you're doing those two things, make sure you're preaching socialist ideas to the population. Because then if you're able to cause the poor to get so poor, they literally can't eat, they can't feed themselves, they don't have enough, and the middle class is gone, he said, then they're ready for a communist revolution. That's how you set the stage for that. And he said that back in 1848. That's the blueprint. And we see that's the blueprint they've been working on because they're doing everything possible to just make everyone poor and poor and poor. And the unrest increases. And that's another reason to be prepared, to be thinking about things differently, because when people are starving to death, they'll do things they would never normally do, or if they see their own children starving to death. So it's a different world we're entering because there's so many potential areas for things to be great upheaval so quickly. One other thing I wanted to bring up before we get into the topic is I feel, and this kind of even fits into the topic, there is going to be some kind of emergency coming this year, a false flag before the midterms. They can see now they're going to lose in a landslide if they're not able to corrupt the election at an incredibly high level, because even many Democrats are saying, I'm not voting for this nonsense anymore. And so something big and dramatic needs to happen for them to be able to change the parameters of the election again like they did last time or something. And what reminded me of that is the Whitmer case, as it's been being tried there. You know, they were going to kidnap the governor of Michigan and then execute her and take over the Capitol and all this stuff. Well, we know now that was all just an FBI farce. They had created the websites that had the white supremacist groups on it. Those were all created by the FBI. They weren't real groups. They weren't real people. They were trying to attract to those sites some unstable people that they could use in what they're doing. But we also know now this week it came out, William Barr, the attorney general for Trump, that was just supposed to be our guy, he was totally in on this. Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, was totally in on this. And they knew about it, and they had approved these plots. It was also supposed to take place in the state of Virginia. The governor there was going to be kidnapped and executed. They had this huge scheme going. That one fell through right away because it got exposed. But the Michigan one went a little bit longer and then was exposed. But they needed something big so Trump wouldn't win re-election. And then, of course, as we've talked about in the past, the head of the FBI for Michigan, right after this thing fell through, he didn't get fired like he should have. They moved him to Washington, D.C. a couple weeks before January 6th. These were all testing grounds to take over a capital, to have an insurrection and do all this stuff. But when we see they're capable of that, and that was even while Trump was president, when we see all this happening, we realize, okay, these people are so evil, but they're so deceptive and strategic. And they will do whatever they have to do to get what they want. And they're not going to lose the election. So you know, okay, they're going to do something. Christopher Wray, I mean, again, head of the FBI, he wrote a paper, it's come out now, in 2019, okay, talking about he thought the single greatest threat to America was domestic terrorism by white supremacists. And he thought they might try to kidnap a governor or even take over a capital in the United States. That's how evil they are. And then the FBI plans that exact thing his paper talks about. Again, remember, they always prepare you. Well, these guys might do this, and then they do that and say, I told you so. Remember, I told you. Those white supremacists were going to do that. I told you that. Anyway, I'm just telling you, we're in a battle here, and it's heating up, and we have an enemy that will refuse to lose, and they are capable of anything. But life has no value. Nothing has value except power. That's why we're doing the talk today, preparing for 2030. Things are just changing so fast. You know the change you've seen over your life and how it's slowly been ramping up, but I'm telling you now, what used to take 10 years is going to be 6 months. The amount of change that's going to be happening. And so we need to be prepared for that. Prepping is great for just the traditional type of prepping we're thinking about, planning for 6 months or whatever. But I realized as I was researching and studying for this, you can't prep for the rest of your life. You just simply can't do that. And so you have to create a system that is self-sustaining, that is able to produce the things it needs to survive outside of their system. Because they're going to unplug you in their system if, you know, you're not going along to get along, if you're not doing exactly what they say. And the world we're heading into, we know, is a socialist world, even in America. You might say, how do you know that? I know that because all the surveys of young people have at least 70% of them saying, we want a socialist system. 30% say they want a communist system. But when the young people want something, they get it. Because they're going to be the adults here real soon, and they'll be in charge of things. And so they've been led to believe socialism is fair. Socialism helps everybody live a wonderful life without having to work, without having to be bothered by responsibilities and bills and things. And that's what we want. Well, so that's what we're going to get. So how do we prepare for a socialist America? How do we prepare for a climate terrorism against individual people? Because we're the enemy, humans, because we let off CO2 as we breathe. How do we prepare for those things? And how do we prepare to try to be outside of that world and independent and being able to do the things God would want us to do in raising the next generation and on and on? Well, if you go back to 2016, the World Economic Forum wrote an article. It says, welcome to 2030. I own nothing and have no privacy, and life has never been better. That's the name of the article from 2016. And I'm just going to read a teeny bit of this because they tell you what the world's going to look like. But they tell you at the end, everyone's not going to go along. And I thought it was very interesting they even brought that fact up. But listen, welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say our city. I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or any clothes. It might seem odd to you, but it makes perfect sense for us in this city. And it goes on and on of just this utopia they're painting. In our city, we don't pay any rent because someone else is using our free space whenever we don't need it. My living room is used for business meetings when I'm not there. Just crazy. On and on. But then it says this, and I thought, this is interesting. At the very end, after this wonderful utopia they live in, she says, my biggest concern is all the people who do not live in our city, those we lost on the way, those who decided that became too much, all this technology, those who felt obsolete and useless when robots and AI took over big parts of our jobs, those who got upset with the political system and turned against it. They live different kind of lives outside of the city. That's where we want to be. Some have formed little self-supplying communities. Exactly. Others just stayed in the empty and abandoned houses in small 19th century villages. Once in a while, I get annoyed about the fact that I have no real privacy, nowhere I can go and not be registered. I know that somewhere, everything I do, think, and dream is recorded. I just hope that nobody uses it against me. All in all, it's a good life. Much better than the path we were on. Crazy, just nonsense. This is from 2016. But they're acknowledging in there, there was people that said, no way, I don't want to be part of this. And I think that's who we need to be. And thing number one I need to say is, I think by 2030, you have to be out of the big cities. You have to be out in rural America, somewhere where you have some property to try to sustain yourself without having to be so tied in to all the foolishness that will be going on and the tracking and the tracing and the digital currencies and IDs and forced vaccinations and everything else. They're trying to create a world where we are completely dependent on them, where we cannot survive without them, which then gives them total control of us. Because if we do anything they don't like, they unplug you. And we've talked about that before, but it's really happening. I guess that's the reality is, how are we preparing for that? We talk about it and go, man, it's crazy. You'll own nothing and be happy. Oh, yeah, it's just nutty what they're doing. Well, they're doing it. So we not only need to resist it, but we need to prepare for the reality they might be successful. And if they are successful, life still goes on. One of the main things I observe when I was interviewing people that had grown up in communist countries over the last 10, 12 years, they said, Curtis, Americans always talk about things like, oh, if Hillary gets elected, it's all over. As if things end when bad things happen. And they were telling me, Curtis, they don't. That means you're living in a communistic world or whatever. And you have to learn to adapt and continue on and to make things happen. We had an underground church. We had underground buying and selling and black markets to get the things we needed. We continued on. And I want to encourage you in that because we as Americans usually do go, yeah, it's all over. As if we all disappear the day Hillary gets elected or whatever the situation is. And so knowing that's the case, we need to go, okay, so once I'm prepped for 3 months, 5 months, whatever, for the unknown disaster, I need to start adjusting my entire life to be ready for this world that's being created around me. And so that's what I'm talking about here. And I cannot cover all the different things. I just want to put little seeds in your mind to be thinking about. For instance, location. Where would that be? Well, somewhere rural, obviously, where you could grow some of your own food. You could have animals. You could be maybe part of a smaller community where they're more like-minded. They're thinking like you're thinking. That's why they're there too. They're like, I don't like this, all this control. They're more self-reliant. When you get out to the country, you'll see, whether it's the farmers or the people into hunting and things and the people into having their own gardens and raising their own animals, they're just more capable of taking care of themselves. They don't really need the system for much of anything. And that's what we need to get like too. But in location, just starting with that, there's places with higher property tax and lower property tax. Well, that's huge. The home we had in Idaho before we moved, I was looking at the tax records now, the yearly property tax is $10,000 a year. That's what the yearly tax is on it. So you have to pay them $10,000 every year forever. So you never own that house. Where we are now, it's $800 a year. So I'm like, that's a lot better. It's only $800 a year I have to come up with instead of $10,000. So that would be a key factor. Climate's so important. What if energy gets so expensive in the future that you simply can't afford it? Are you in a place where you need AC and heat and everything? Well, you need to think about that. You can get to more a temperate climate where you don't need as much of that. Where we are, we could survive if you didn't have any AC or any heat. We could survive. It'd be a little hot in the summer and be a little cool in the winter, but it's not so extreme that it would hamper us being able to exist. Another thing that's so vital about location is your access to water. Our property has springs just coming out of the ground. So much of the South, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, a lot of them that I'm thinking of, there's just water everywhere. There's ponds, there's lakes, there's streams, springs. That's great. It's nice when you get a lot of rain each year. We get about 60 plus inches of rain. And there's lots of places in the South that that's the case. Well, that's a vital resource if you're trying to grow your own food and trying to be self-sufficient in things. That would be a key piece of the puzzle. But also, of course, the community, the people, the way of thinking, is it more conservative-minded in that area or more liberal? Because you want, when that happens, when the people start moving into the big cities because everything's so expensive and energy is so expensive, and that you've got enough people staying where you are to create that little community they were talking about, where you're okay, you're fine. You know, we've got people that produce a few things we don't produce, and we produce some things they don't produce. And so everyone is self-sufficient. On one hand, it almost seems overwhelming to think like that, but not that long ago, 100 years ago, most people lived like that. I know you've all seen Little House on the Prairie and things like that. They were a family that just had a little place to stay, a little piece of property, and could provide most things they needed by themselves, and every now and then they'd have to go get a couple little things. But they lived a very simple life, and I think the key to the future is simple, is free, is learning how to enjoy all the blessings God has given to us that don't cost anything at all. Again, like I mentioned earlier, because we know we're heading into a socialist future, you're not going to be allowed to be wealthy. So you're not going to have all this extra money. That will be taken away, period. We know that because they'll always be in need of more money because their system doesn't work. So when you know, I don't care how much I make each year, this is all I'm going to get to keep, then you realize, well, I need to learn to live where with that amount, I'm totally content and happy, and I've done all the things I can do to be as productive as possible in different areas of my life, providing my own food, my own things, and my own entertainment, my own enjoyment, so that I can have a very nice life, homeschooling my kids and raising the next generation and playing games in the yard and doing the simple things, which I love anyway, but doing those things so I don't need so much money to survive. Once you've moved out of the big city and you're now out in a rural community where there's like-minded people, you've got a little property, you've got water, you've got a place to stay, and just a simple life. So it's as you can live as inexpensively as possible, so you don't have to earn as much money. You've gotten rid of a lot of the things that just suck our time and money, and then enjoy the simple free things like playing games with your family and taking walks and doing your garden and taking care of the animals, things that a lot of people that live rural get a lot of enjoyment out of. It's not the work you think. It's not like, oh, I've got to go milk the cows. They enjoy those things. They like to go take care of the chickens and check the garden and bring in the vegetables and things they've grown and the fruit trees and the vines. And so it's kind of changing your priorities and changing the things you enjoy and learning to enjoy things that are productive and that are free. But once you're there, then there's all the concerns of, well, how do I do all the things I don't know how to do? Well, first of all, in those communities, there's a lot of people that have been doing a lot of the stuff for a lot of years. And so it's not like you're having to reinvent the wheel. I think having a good library of books and resources that tell you how to do all the things you don't know how to do is vital. And getting those in case the internet goes down for some reason. There's so many great videos right now you can watch on the internet of how to do everything you could ever think of doing, and which is really a wonderful resource. But if that went down, what would you do? Here's just a few of the books I just grabbed off my shelf to just show you things that have so much value. Survival Wisdom and Know-How. This book tells you how to do everything you can imagine. Peterson's Field Guide to Medicinal Plants and Herbs. All the plants and herbs and things that can help you medically. Do you realize almost all the products of Big Pharma came from plants? It was things doctors had used in plants, and then they made it into a medication, and then they patented it so they could make money on it. But the root of it came from something that was naturally occurring in nature, and they saw, oh, that really helps with this. And so they just turned it into a chemical compound so they could patent it and sell it. But so many things like that. Field Guide to Edible Wild Plants. There's so many plants you can eat. As I was looking through this, I was like, it's amazing how much that's just right out there that's edible. God intended us to be able to eat that. And there's great benefits to many of those things. Be Your Own Doctor. This is one of our family's favorite books. We've been reading this for years and years. It's all the things you can do at home to take care of yourself. And it's a great blessing. The Frugal Homesteader. You're like, I don't know how to homestead. There's lots of people that do. And they have incredible wisdom, and they have incredibly simple ways of doing things, and they're happy to teach you. And it's fun as you watch more of their videos and read more of their books, you realize how simple things really are and how enjoyable. You can see how much they enjoy what they do, but how they have the confidence in knowing they can take care of themselves. Their food doesn't all come out of a can or a package at the store. They are productive in and of themselves. And I think that's a huge part of this whole thing. But I just want you to know all the things you don't know how to do, there's people out there that do know how to do, and they're excellent at teaching you how to do it. You know, The Resilient Farm and Homestead. Each one of these books is just a wealth of knowledge of whether it's taking care of animals, whether it's producing food, whether it's building things and fixing things. And it's really amazing to me when you haven't been in this world very long and then you come into it, it's kind of exciting. And I hope all of you, if you're going to choose to be preparing for the world that's coming, I hope it will be something that's fun. That's like a Boy Scout getting ready for a big adventure instead of a burden and a weight and something that's, oh, I don't want to do this. If that's the way you're thinking about it, you'll probably be happier in the big city where you own nothing and you're so, so happy, but you have no privacy. But here's one of my favorites. And this guy has so many great videos on the internet. Charles Dowding's Skills for Growing. I don't know if you can see the picture very well on here of what his gardens look like. They are so beautiful. And he tells you step by step of how to do them and how to grow things and how to take care of them and how to then preserve them once you've harvested them and on. But it's a simple life, but it's a beautiful life and it's a productive life. And it's the life I think God intended us to live. Adam and Eve, this is what they were going to be doing their entire life. Tending the garden, taking care of the animals, raising their children, and continuing things on. They weren't, you know, on their iPhone 8 hours a day, Facebook 3 hours a day, video games 4 hours a day, on and on. They weren't doing that. They were in touch with nature, where you get to see God's hand in the way he's designed things. The miracle of a seed. When's the last time you just looked at a seed and realized this teeny little seed is a machine God created where all you have to add to that is water, and it creates a plant that then has strawberries on it, or tomatoes, or green beans. And all you added was water, and it produced things that taste completely different than other things. And are, I mean, it's a miracle. No Dig Organic Home and Garden, same guy, but millions of great ideas and know-how of how to do things. And anyway, I've loved those and learned so much. And just getting kind of into doing some of this at a bigger scale and really enjoying it. And I think you would too. The basics of country skills. Again, an encyclopedia of everything you've ever wondered. How do you do that? And on it goes. I've got a huge stack here. Survival books, books on defending your home and preparing for what's coming. So the knowledge is there. The knowledge you don't have, I don't have, it's out there. And the people that have prepared the books and prepared the videos are great teachers. So it's easy learning. And the ones, again, I've watched, I can tell they love doing what they are doing. It's not a burden. It's not a, oh, I can't believe I have to grow my own food. It's something they really enjoy. So location, becoming more self-sufficient, being in a like-minded community, having your own energy sources, could be some solar, some wood, but using maybe less energy in general. That's why if you're in a location where it's not too hot, not too cold, you could survive on a lot less electricity. I think they're going to tax energy so much at every level because it's control of people. A lot of you, if you've been raised in the cities and lived in the cities most of your life, you think, is a garden really going to produce anything? Something I learned just recently, it's pretty amazing. Do you remember back in World War II, they had the Victory Gardens where our government's encouraged everyone to have a garden in their backyard, even if they lived in a little neighborhood, whatever, because a lot of the food being produced in America needed to go overseas to Europe because they were all fighting, and so they didn't have time to plant their farms and stuff, and bombs were going off, and so they had everybody get a garden going in their yard. And I thought, well, maybe that's a little token thing where everybody got their little 10 tomatoes, and it wasn't. 40% of all the fruits and vegetables that were eaten in America during World War II were from those little Victory Gardens. 40% of all the food. That's just people planting a little plot, 10 by 12 in their backyard, and cultivating it and taking care of it. So another key thing to know is on just a couple acres, you can produce easily enough for a large family to survive and have plenty to eat. Just on a few acres of ground. The ground is so fertile and so productive. Those that aren't in touch with it don't realize that. We've planted some gardens, and I can't believe the amount of stuff that comes in. The potatoes, just box after box of potatoes or sweet potatoes or different things. And I'm like, wow, it was just not that big a piece of ground at all. If you're prepping for the short term, you go buy 6 months of food and you have it sitting there. If you're prepping for the long term, you create a garden that's big enough and a system where you can the items or freeze dry the items or things when they're done each year, where you realize I'm producing enough for me to be self-sufficient. And I even have extra to sell. That Charles Dowding, he's got enough to sell to tons of families off his garden. And he only has a couple acres there. And it's amazing how much comes off of it. So that's important to understand. Just on the food side of things, just to help you think, because again, if you're used to buying things at the grocery store, I just wanted to cover one area thoroughly to let you understand, wow, how much food is available, and there's so many different ways of getting it. Of course, obvious hunting. If you live out in rural areas, hunting is a big part of life. Fishing. If you have ponds on your property or if there's lakes nearby, that's a great source. Trapping. You just have traps on your property. I know people that do rabbits and all sorts of things, and it's quiet. You didn't shoot a gun or anything, make any noise, but you got food. Edible plants, like I talked about before, fruit trees. I'm planting a bunch of fruit trees right now in our yard because we live in an area where you can have those. So in Idaho, we had 8 different varieties of fruit and things in our own yard, and it was wonderful. You're just eating it all summer long. Bushes and vines, blueberry plants we're planting right now, and then a garden, of course, all the different things you can grow there. And then the farm animals. A lot of people, if they haven't raised them, don't realize how easy it is, but how much food they produce. Just a little piglet, if you buy one for $25 at the farmer's auction, in 6 months, it'll weigh 300 pounds. In 6 months. Well, that's a great blessing. Chickens are full grown from chicks. If you have a little incubator where you can incubate your own chicks, in 8 weeks, they're fully grown. We have a mature chicken to sell or to eat or to get the eggs from. And, of course, cows, if you have room for a cow. And if you're somewhere where it rains a lot and the soils are fertile, they can eat the grass out there. They're not a huge expense. They eat the grass, you get the milk, and then you have meat if you need that in the future. And then, of course, sheep and goats. I just recently saw a guy in Texas who had, just in a little shed, a quail operation where he was raising baby quail and incubating the eggs. And it was just incredible. But he got 200 eggs a day from a little setup that was maybe 8 by 10 feet. But it was a food source. And then he would preserve the eggs and sell the eggs for $1 each to some of the restaurants locally and different things. But there's just a lot of different ways to be self-sufficient in what you need to eat, which is one of your top priorities. You need to eat, you need to have water, and you need to have a place to stay. And it's not as hard as people think to be able to get those things and to be able to live a very simple life if we need to. If we don't prepare and then things change dramatically and we're all of a sudden in that world of the World Economic Forum, the 2030 scenario, it's too late then. That's why I wanted to talk about this, is just, again, get you thinking as we see the world changing, knowing, am I ready for what's coming? And I think the more we can be out and have planned ahead a little bit, it might make our life easier, and it might make it just more possible for us to keep raising the next generation, to still have a relatively normal life, even while the world is going a completely different direction. We need to just disconnect as much as possible, be debt-free as much as possible, be really working toward that. So as we enter the socialist world they're trying to create, and they start taking more and more of our productivity from us in taxes and things, we're okay. Because, yeah, we're only getting this much a year like everybody else. But we've created a life because we're so productive that on that much a year, we're still doing well, and we still have a wonderful life. And so that's just something I wanted to bring up to let you think about, because a lot of people are thinking in the short term, load up the pantry today and do that, which is great and valuable, and be ready to defend yourself and all those other areas. But I thought, wait a minute, it doesn't, if that event even happens, some big event where we need that stuff, who's not to say it's going to continue on like that for a long time, where your 6 months of food goes down in 6 months, and all of a sudden, whoa, I'm out. So I lasted 6 months longer, but I'm still out. So I just, with the uncertainties, with the chaos in the world, with the possibilities of collapse in 1,000 different areas, and people that are in positions of power and influence we know that want to make us slaves, we need to go, okay, how do I get out of that system where I don't have the bank account at their bank where they can unplug me? I live a very simple life, providing for myself and raising the next generation and being faithful to do the things God's asked me to do, sharing the gospel and being a good example and things like that. But I hope that was helpful. It was, again, just to give you a big picture overview of starting to think differently and starting to make decisions now. So in 7.5 years, when 2030 comes, regardless of how successful they've been in accomplishing their goals, we're ready and we're prepared for that world and the world we know they're taking us into. So anyway, there's so much to cover. I feel like you need to get some good books and you need to do some of these things, and I'll have some links below. It's too broad of topic to cover completely, but it's something I wanted to plant those seeds so they could grow and so you could dig in a little bit and see what's best for you and your family to do. Our verse for this week is Proverbs 14:8. Here's what it says. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. We need to understand our way. We need to understand what's going on. How am I preparing so my family will be taken care of? If the world changes in the way they're telling us they're wanting to change it, how am I doing that? That's what the wise man does. But the folly of fools is deceit. That's the ship of fools that is leading this thing. They're all about deceit. Oh, you're going to be happy even though we've taken everything from you and you live in a communistic society because now the government owns everything and you own nothing. Well, we need to be wise to the deceit, but we need to understand our way. And anyway, I hope you have a great week. Appreciate you. And until next week, God bless you.